If you want to go even deeper and get exclusive access to additional resources, weekly live streams, and a community of growth-minded e-commerce business owners, then you need to join the E-Commerce Alley Facebook group by going to alleypodcast.com/group. There's a bit more than 2,000 of us there, and I'd love to see you there as well. Welcome to the E-Commerce Alley podcast, where we believe that great brands are built on passionate leadership, smart operations, and of course, powerful marketing. I am your host, Josh Coffee, like the drink, but better. And today I have two special guests of honor with me. And these are actually clients of ours that we worked with. We've done a ton of stuff together. And so I'm excited as well because they're in person. So if you're not watching and you're listening, go to YouTube, alleypodcast.com/YouTube. Check this out. We're in person and we're going to dive deep into some things around marketing and business. Chris, Ryan, it's good to have you guys here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Now, just so everyone knows, they drove all the way down from Michigan to be here, which is pretty cool.
It is.
That's a commitment for sure.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to read off a little bit about Freedom Fatigues, just to kind of give everyone a starting base here. So anyone listening, so Ryan and Chris are the owners of a brand called Freedom Fatigues. So Freedom Fatigues is an American lifestyle apparel brand located just outside of Detroit. They're a veteran and law enforcement officer owned and operated company dedicated to producing unapologetically patriot apparel and accessories that are exclusively made here in the U.S. of A. As a family-run establishment, they strive to promote our country's values and peacekeepers everywhere, partnering only with fellow American companies to produce 100% top-to-bottom American-made merchandise of superior quality. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yep.
I love that.
In a nutshell.
That's it in a nutshell. Well, I pulled it right from your website.
Yep.
So that's good.
I recognize it.
Yeah. So you guys sell a lot of apparel. Everything from, I mean, top to bottom, completely made here.
Mm-hmm.
And is it all like local, like to you guys, or just in the States as a whole?
Just in the States as a whole. It's made, there's different items are made throughout the country, but okay. They're decorated locally.
Okay. So tell me about you guys have been around since, was it 2018 we just said?
Mm-hmm. 2018.
So you guys are like, year four right now, if I can do math, which I really can't. So year four, like what was the shift that kind of started the business for you? Like what was the initial, like the one you just say, you know what, we're going to start a clothing brand.
That's exactly how that happened.
Is that how it happened? Really?
Not even.
No. Well, a little bit.
Well, sort of, but I mean, it was kind of like, no, because I would have never thought to start a t-shirt company if I didn't get hurt. And then, so I had an accident at work and
okay. It
ended my career. And I was, after surgery one or two, I was laying on a couch and I'm thinking to myself, I was told I'll never be able to do law enforcement ever again. Mm. So I'm like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. And I was just watching something on YouTube, how to start a t-shirt company. I said, we're going to start a t-shirt company. And then she looked at me like I was crazy. But here we are. Get on board.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I mean, it just sparked the idea. And what I love about, like, just what I know about you guys is that, like, everything is, like, based on who you are and what you believe. And so for you, so you said you had an accident. So you were in law enforcement and you were military too?
Yes.
Okay. So military and the law enforcement, how long were you in law enforcement?
Almost 20 years.
20 years. Yeah. Wow.
So,
wow.
And then what, nine? In the military? Was mm-hmm. it 9 years in the military?
Oh. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like a wimp compared to everything you've probably been through. that's amazing. So you guys are, so husband, wife, mm-hmm. duo.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have anyone else on your team?
We have, like, we have a designer we work with, but mm-hmm. everybody's, we keep it tight knit. So they're friends. They're all friends or mm-hmm. family that work with us. We don't really have anybody outside of our circle.
Really? Okay. Okay. So then just for like everyone, so I read off a little bit of your bio, like, can you break down a little bit like about the business and like the types of stuff that you guys sell?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, what we sell is basically hats, t-shirts, sweatshirts, anything like apparel wise, other than pants. We don't have pants, but like anything that outerwear, it's 100% American made, and it's all geared towards patriots. I mean, it doesn't have, we're not geared towards just veterans or just police or just this. It's everyday people who love America all around. So that's who we're aiming for.
Because that's who we are.
And that's who I am.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Like when we, so Ryan, you and I met, I don't know, 6 months ago, something like that. So you guys went through one of our coaching programs, marketing stuff in Q4, which that was fun. That was a lot of work. But we kind of went through that together. And I think what was really cool is, like, as soon as I met you, I had never met Chris until a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I never met Chris, but just by knowing you, like, we're all Midwesterners. And you could, like, tell Midwesterners when you meet them, you know? And, you know, we're all from small towns usually, and everyone's, like, super down to earth. And I think that's one of the things that when we first met you, and then I also met you, like, that's just, you could tell, like, who you guys really were.
Yeah.
And that you stood behind the products that you sold. Now, so you're in a pretty, and I think this would be really interesting to talk about, because, like, there are so many people that I talk to and in our program and in our groups and stuff like that that say, hey, like, we're in a super saturated niche. Like, there's, and I don't think there's a niche that isn't saturated, to be honest. But you guys have thrived and seriously grown a business and are continuing to build that business in a short 4 years, really. Like, and it looks like a lot of your growth from what I've seen has happened in the last 2 years, really.
Yeah.
A good chunk of that.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you say to someone who says, hey, I'm in a saturated niche? Like, what do you, like, I can't grow in a saturated niche?
Like you said, I think most niches are pretty saturated. So you just have to find what makes you different from everybody else and focus on that. Yeah. So differentiate yourself from the field so that you can stand out.
Yeah.
And be authentic to who you actually are. And the brand will speak for itself.
Yeah, no, I think one thing that's good is, like, you guys have really niched down to, like, this is our audience and this is who we are. And I'd love to talk about, like, so for some people listening, and if you, and, you know, me knowing your brand, some people would say it's more on the controversial side. I know your patriotism flowing through your veins, unapologetic America. I love that. And so, like, what are some of those things that maybe you've come up against with that? Because I know that nowadays it's pretty tough, like, to really, like, blaze a trail in an area that is sometimes seen as controversial.
So, I mean, there's technical constraints trying to navigate through the censorship on social media, walking a line between what we actually want to say and what we can say.
Which I never thought I'd have to do in America. You know what I mean? Like, here
we are. Who would have thought patriotism would be controversial?
Or you're considered a terrorist by our government for, you know, what, like, with the schools, like the parents that are standing up against stuff in schools, they're calling them terrorists, or people are patriotic. They're trying to label them as a terrorist. It's like, so I guess if that's what you're going to call me, I'll be not a terrorist, but I'm going to be a patriot loving American. That's who I'm always going to be. If that's what they want to identify us as, then that's just their own way of dealing with whatever they're dealing with.
You have to just steer the course, I think. Remember who you are, what your mission is, what you're trying to do. And work within the confines of what's given to you. So unfortunately, there are confines on social media, but we do have to work within those as much as we can and still be authentic at the same time.
Yeah. I think that's a challenge too. You know, like, if, like, there are certain things that, you know, we might believe, or that we really stand by our products too. And I know that other people, but you also need to abide by the rules of some of these platforms, which, you know, I think of some of the unadvertisable niches. Like, I think of CBD. I think of, like, a lot of supplements are really just, it's hard. They're restricted because you can't make anything that sounds like a promise at all. You can't even, like, mention arthritis, or you can't mention certain words. I think of firearm companies and just some of those, like, more restricted areas that they all kind of go through that. And so what I think is really unique is, like, you guys, I feel like at the end of it, the day, like, you have to have this conviction to say, we're pressing forward. Like, we'll abide by the rules because we have to, and this is what we'll do. Like, we'll be okay with that. But we're going to continue pressing on. Now tell me about, so when you guys started, you started and you weren't, as far as, like, sourcing products, It sounds like you've kind of like upgraded over time to like different kinds of models. Like, so what did you start with when you first began your journey from like sourcing products?
So it was the typical journey of start your t-shirt brand, you know. So it was drop shipping, DTG printing. Mm-hmm. Nothing was American made at the time. Mm-hmm. But even with that scenario, we struggled with finding a printer that would print some of our designs that didn't.
People were just saying, and it's not even print your stuff.
Nothing was even controversial. Okay. It was just like
they just didn't like what our politics were.
And it was like, so we eventually got to a company out in California. They raised the prices by 60% to 80% on us overnight after we sent in a design, and they didn't like it. So they basically discriminated us and pushed us out the door. And we had a lot of money invested at this point in time. We were both, I remember standing in our living room looking at each other going, now what? What do we do? Do we throw in the towel? And I'm like, no.
We pulled back and we decided to go full throttle with what we always wanted to do.
We're going to be 100, yeah. We're going 100% American made now. And I said that we're going to figure it out. How are we going to do that? Research. He went into like just diving in deep into what we need to do. And it just kind of evolved from there. And here we are. And we're 100% American made. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's what puts us in our, almost like our own niche. I mean, there's not too many people in there. Like we're not saturated.
That's the differentiating factor within the patriotic apparel community.
I mean, we're not saturated in the American made aspect of it, but that's fine. I'll offer it.
So you're saying the most are, they might have things on their t-shirts that are patriotic, but they're
made in China.
Right.
Okay. So that's really your guys' like your largest unique point is everything is made here.
Yeah.
Now, and I know we've talked a little bit about this. So like you're saying, you said, I forget the one liner. It's like knit, sewn, bag.
Knit,
I forget
cut,
what.
Sewn, dyed.
Knit, cut, sewn. Like literally everything is made here.
Right.
That's pretty impressive. Like even the bags.
I don't know necessarily the shipping bags.
Sure. For the most part, even our vinyl. So our stickers that we put our stickers on, we had to order American made vinyl. Just to print our stickers on. So we take it seriously. Like when it comes to American made, we don't just say
it. It's difficult.
It is difficult and it's hard. But like what really pisses me off, sorry, I can't swear on your show here, is the brands that say packaged, printed, and then shipped from in the U.S. They're leaving out everything else. They're trying to make it sound like they're made here. Mm-hmm. When everything else that they say is leading the person who's like, oh, look, they're all done. They did all this here in the U.S. It must be made here. And it's a mind, you're playing with the mind of the people that are buying it because they're thinking they're getting an American-made product. And that pisses me off. Because I'm seeing that, I see all these other people, and they're like, it's not. It's made in Bangladesh. And you're selling it here for the, you know, probably more than we're selling ours from being made in America. Mm-hmm. So that's a frustrating part of it. To see other people try to say they are. When I know they're not, but we are.
Yeah, it's funny. I never thought about that. You know, thought about the language, like how you can spin language to sound like it's like packaged in America is not made in America. And so, like, I think that I never really was aware of that personally until I met you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, there's so much stuff that says, you know, packaged, shipped from America. Like you
printed
just spin
in.
Printed it. Yeah, you could spin it any way, but everything else is not from here.
Right.
So it means that you guys have to really stand by your convictions because you can make a lot more money if you didn't do that.
I mean, even the companies that say all that, people will type in and ask them. And instead of saying, no, they're not made in America, they still respond with, all of our items are packaged, printed, labeled, whatever. Everything but made. They still don't respond with, no, it's not. Their response is still, like, they still can't say no. It's like somebody who's trying to lie on the stand. Like you're trying to ask them a question, and you know what the answer is, but they keep saying the wrong answer. Kind of like, what's her name on TV right now?
So it sounds like so that is something you guys have really stood by. That is your differentiator. Now the challenge is obviously being able to communicate that.
Yep, and being able to educate the audience to know the difference between what's real and what's not.
Yeah. So how are you doing that right now?
I don't know exactly, other than to say that we try to keep our messaging very clear, and trying not to say what everybody else says, like he said, which is just printed, packaged, and shipped. We try to be very clear. So, like on all of our product descriptions, we'll mention the fact that the fabric is made here. They're cut and sewn here. It's we try to get real granular in the description so people understand that there is a difference with what they're getting from us.
And as far as like from a marketing standpoint, like, can you break down, like, what are you guys doing right now? Where does the majority of the revenue come from on the marketing front end?
Hey guys, Dylan here, producer of the E-commerce Alley podcast. Just a short interruption here to ask you a quick favor. We hope you're enjoying this episode of the podcast. And if you are, or if you've been a listener for a while, it would mean the world to us if you dropped a review wherever you're listening. We love seeing how this podcast is impacting people's businesses, and it helps this podcast get in the hands of other people who may need it as well. Thank you for leaving a review and for your continued support. Let's get back to the podcast.
Yeah, so right now, the majority of our efforts and the majority of the revenue is through social media advertising, Facebook and Instagram at the moment.
Okay.
And a little bit through Google Ads.
Okay.
And email marketing.
Okay, and email, email. You know, it's like, those are the two things, right? Like, we tell everybody that, like, ads and email. Like, those are the things that drive, like, what percentage do you say of your revenue those account for?
About 20% is through email.
Okay.
And the majority of it comes, the rest of it comes from Facebook.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really? So social is really not even a huge driver for you guys, like, revenue-wise?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Okay. Wow. And you're in organic? What about that?
It's small. We're working on it at the moment. We're working on SEO and driving some more organic traffic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, like, as far as, like, I'm curious, like, what is the largest challenge? So you're 4 years in, you ran in, like, it sounds pretty early on, you ran into the supplier issue previously. But, like, other than that, like, what do you think one of the largest challenges that you've come up against in growing a business or in getting to where you are right now? And I ask this because I talk to so many people that they're a year in and, like, they have something like what happened to you guys happen and it just wipes them out. Like, it annihilates them. They do throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know what? Supplier screwed me over. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm done, you know, and they throw that in. Yeah. So, like, it takes a lot to get through that. So I think it's good for people to hear, like, they're not the only ones that experience that. So, like, what would you say one of your largest obstacles you've come up against might be?
It's circumventing Facebook and navigating through advertising in their platform. With all the challenges of the iOS updates, the removal of audiences that we were using a lot. It's really learning to adapt.
And the fact that we're not selling I Love Liberal shirts. You know, I mean, that's it. I mean, we're not selling a shirt that says I Love Liberals on it. And it's like, that would, like, if that was the case, Facebook would probably put it right up in the front, you know? But we're patriotic. And they don't, it seems to me that when we're fighting an uphill battle, just being a patriotic American, because they don't necessarily like what we're about and what we stand for. And if that's just being an American, then it's almost like you want to say, give them a big bird to them, but you can't, because you gotta play the game. And it's a crappy game. I wish I didn't have to play it. Like, if you could have, like, the other social medias that are coming out, say what you want. I don't care what other people are saying. Just let everybody have a place of free speech where you're not censored.
Yeah.
And then we got Musk working on that right now, but do I think he's a savior for it? No, something's got to be done dynamically over the whole, everywhere on social media. And so that you don't have people like me and her going, we got to be careful what we say. Not because we're going to, like, hurt somebody's feelings. We love our country. Mm-hmm. And sorry that offends you. If you don't like it, then say bad things on your...
It's navigating the culture for sure. And then the technical hurdles that come along with that on the platforms.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely tough. Mm-hmm. What are you guys working on next? Like, what's the next big push you guys are doing in the business?
Growth.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we'd like to see more growth in the face of these struggles. Mm-hmm. So.
And now we have the ability to grow as before we didn't, but, like, we're in a position now where we have the room, the space, the team, the people.
Right.
So
we're poised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And what do you mean by that? Like, the room, the people, and
our actual operation. We have a team of, we have printers, we have fulfillment, a center that we're working with.
Everything's on in-house right there. And it's just, we have the ability to grow, you know, we go from 1500 square feet to almost 25,000 square feet. So we have room to expand. So quite a bit different.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know that we're part of that too, so I'm excited. Yep. At the same time. We have all these campaigns for anyone listening. We have all these things that are about to go live. And I guess, like, from my perspective, you know, sitting over here, you know, when we first engaged, I know that, Ryan, one of your biggest questions was, like, even before we did the coaching program, you know, you're like, would you be willing to help our brand and not, you know, hurt us, kind of like that supplier did? And I remember you telling me that story. And I'm excited to be part of this journey because I think that, you know, I love my country. I love America. I love what we stand for. And I also know that we are, like you said, Chris, we're fighting an uphill battle. And it's not going to stop. You know, we're just flat out in a niche. That is an uphill battle. There are a lot of things that we're, you know, we're not going to break the rules. We're going to follow them, but we're going to follow them all the way up until the line of the rule. We're going to do what we have to do. But I think in all these moments, like for anybody listening, like you have to, if you're back into a corner, you can either give in or you can fight, right? You could, you're either forward or you're going to cower. And so I think that and I think all of our mindset is in that, like, we're going to fight. We're going to fight for what we believe, for the products, for the convictions that we have. And then also, we're going to we will figure it out. I don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what audiences we can or can't target. I know there, across the board, there were so many audiences removed in the last 3-4 months. But we're going to find the ones that work. We're going to find the ads that work. We're going to find the products that really work. And we're going to keep pushing forward. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from all of this. Like, one thing I've learned about you guys is you guys don't give up.
No.
I know off, you know, before we chatted right here, we were even talking about how you were moving to a new company that you're partnering with a lot of fulfillment stuff. You ran into bumps and hurdles through that. And even those moments are tricky, but you've navigated through those. And now, you know, we're, like you said, we're poised and we're in a good spot. And I think that perseverance is, not quitting is just the biggest part of winning.
Absolutely. You're never going to win if you quit.
Yeah.
You can't succeed if you give up on it.
Yeah. I think that I coach people all the time. I talk to people all the time that they have one little thing and it just sets them over. Like, I can't get this to work. Can't get this ad to work. Or I can't get whatever that is. And it's so easy. It's easy. The easy route is giving up.
Right.
And so you guys are in it because it's clear you believe in what you do. And I do too. So awesome. Well, just so anyone knows, if you want to see Ryan and Chris's company, Freedom Fatigues, I mean, that's just the handle, right? On social media, Freedom Fatigues. I'm curious, well, like the name. Can you explain the name to me real quick? I never have asked this before. Freedom Fatigues.
Let you do that one.
No, this was actually, it was you were the one that came up with it.
Right.
So I'd say you, we had a bunch of, I can't even remember now what we had. I mean, at the time I was going through surgery, so it was in between, like I was probably on some sort of narcotic when I was done. That's probably how this whole thing started. I was on narcotics and I'm like, let's start a t-shirt company. It's going to be great. And here we are 4 years later. It's great. Trust me. But it was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Like moments that sometimes you're like,
well, but I mean, you know, freedom just embodies the message that we have. Right. So, and then with his background, military, police background, fatigues. Go ahead and tell them what fatigues is.
No, it's just it's an article of clothing. I mean, it's basically anything. It could be any article of clothing, and for the military, the word fatigues is what they use for their dress.
I didn't know that.
Everyday dress. Yeah. So their fatigues are that's what their fatigues are. Obviously. So with Freedom Fatigues, it embodies everything from just shirts, hats, to anything. It's gear that you wear. So
it's your everyday
patriotic gear.
You know, I thought it was you're really fatigued when you're coming up with a brand and you're like, we love freedom, but I'm a little fatigued and it's daunting.
I am a little.
We hope people don't think that.
No, but I am a little bit fatigued with our government right now. So if we can do something about that and get something rolling in there. DC. I just left DC last weekend and it was kind of like almost bittersweet. Like I'm there and I'm looking at the White House going like, you know, it's like, we gotta deal with this. It's like, come on, you know, it's like, all right.
It was prophetic. You knew it would be a fatigue battle, you know, right. With the brand as you grow it.
Yeah.
You knew you'd get fatigued at some
point. That's right.
Awesome. Cool. Well, hey, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it, guys. Coming down here. And so for anybody listening, you have been listening to the E-Commerce Alley podcast produced behind the scenes by the legendary Dylan Counts. We want to say thank you for listening. If you want to get more information on the Alley podcast, then go to alleypodcast.com. If you want to join our free Facebook group, the Alley Podcast Group, you have to join it, or the E-Commerce Alley Podcast Group, alleypodcast.com/group. It'll send you there. We do weekly live trainings, tons of resources, and a great community. But thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.